2 weeks ago, we began looking at the New Testament character of Timothy. And so I'd like to review that a little bit and then move forward with some things about his life and as we study and do some thinking here. Acts chapter 16, we're first introduced to Timothy in verse 1. The Bible says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. Behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." So we talked a little bit about his life and some things about him. Our theme for this particular one is, no matter what else happens, we can and should be faithful. And we see that Timothy certainly was that. We mentioned a little bit about his family. We know from the text of Scripture that his father was a Greek and appears to not be a saved man. His mother was Jewish. And we know that his grandmother and his mother both have a heavy influence on his life as he was impacted by them. He lives in Lystra, though Derbe and Iconium are right there and are influenced upon him as well. Acts chapter 20 tells us that also. We learn a little bit about his faith. Paul repeatedly calls him his son, or my own son in the faith, or my beloved son, various things. Paul mentions that he had fully known his persecutions and afflictions, which caused to him at Antioch. So we believe that Timothy was probably saved on that first missionary journey. We also know that his mother and grandmother impacted him greatly. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." We also know that that he not only led him to Christ, but he had an excellent testimony. This idea of well reported by the churches, it means they spoke well of him. They knew him. He had a great testimony, and they recommended him to Paul. He is circumcised so that his ministry will not be hindered, because they all knew that his dad was a Greek man. He served like Paul and was a servant to Paul. And the Bible tells us on a couple of occasions that Paul had no man who was like-minded who would care for their state like Timothy. Paul said he's really there just like I would be. And then he was faithful. And I mentioned, you know, obviously, that 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, we know this text, "Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And then in verse 17 of that same text, he says that Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. And so Timothy was a faithful man that Paul was able to call him that. And then we talked a little bit about the fear. Some believe that Timothy was a fearful, kind of timid young man. And we gave you a couple of passages of Scripture about that a little bit. And my point being, at the end, if Timothy was naturally timid and fearful, he didn't show that at the end. He had a boldness about him, and according to historical records, died a martyr's death there, probably in the city of Ephesus. And that's where we finished last time. So number four, I'd like us to look at a focus, or his work. What did he do? And we're going to work through a number of passages of Scripture as we work through this. Now, I'll say this, anytime you're dealing with timelines, there are different opinions about these timelines, but I'm going to kind of just walk through what we know about Timothy and where he was, and then at the end we'll draw some application questions here. We know that he was ordained. We don't know exactly where he was ordained, though probably at Derbe and Lystra, his home church, probably was the one that ordained him. They had pastors shortly after they were formed, according to Acts chapter 14 and verse 23. So it makes sense that they would have ordained Timothy there. You say, well, how do we know he was ordained? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery." And then 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." So we know that Paul was a part of that ordination there for Timothy as he begins his gospel ministry. Whether he did that at the very beginning or he came back and did that, we're not sure. But we do know that eventually Timothy was ordained to the gospel ministry. Paul calls him his work fellow, or means working together with, Romans 16, which is where we started our study of some of these New Testament characters and others. Paul refers to those who helped him in spreading the gospel as his fellow workers, which was a wonderful thing for them to be called that of Paul. When Paul visits the city the second time, he wants Timothy to travel with him. Acts 16, we just read that text. He went with Paul in his journey. He went to a number of cities, Phrygia, Galatia, Mysia, Troas, Philippi, Berea. All of these places tell us some things about Timothy as he travels with Paul. Acts chapter 17, verses 13 and 14 says, "But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still." So shortly after Paul picks up Timothy, we believe he was a young man. Some Bible scholars believe he may have been a late teenager when he began to travel with Paul. Shortly after that, he's left in a violent city. So violent, they tell Paul, "You need to get out of here." But Silas and Timothy can stay. I'm not sure if I was Timothy, I'd have wanted to stay. You know, and be like, "Can I go with Paul? This is who I signed up with, right?" But he was a part of that. We know then, according to Acts chapter 17 and verse 15, that he followed Paul to Athens. It says, "And they that conducted Paul brought him into Athens, receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed they departed." So they get Paul out of the city safely, and Paul says, "Okay, when you get back there, I want you to send Timothy to me, Silas to me, so that they can minister to me." And so that's exactly what happens. He then went to Thessalonica to help the church there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." Something you'll see is that when Paul needed somebody to go and check on a church, to strengthen them, to disciple them, or whatever, more likely than not, it was Timothy who did that. It could have been. Some believe Titus was a little bit older, I think. Silas was probably older. Could have been just that he was younger and could handle the rigors of travel. But Paul had to trust him. And you think about, we know that he was in Corinth. We'll talk about that in just a minute. We know that he was in Thessalonica. We know that he was in Ephesus. As a matter of fact, eventually pastored the church at Ephesus. Those are pretty three significant churches. And when you think about what we know about them according to God's word and what was written about them, Timothy to expose himself to that and to be involved in that was a pretty heavy thing. We then know that he reports back to Paul, 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6, "And now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you." So he says, "I sent Timothy to check on you." He comes back and gives me a good report. And of course, when you look at the book of 1 Thessalonians and what that church is actually doing, Paul being there probably 3 weeks, and yet from them sounded forth the gospel. This was a prospering, exploding church, really. How thrilling that must have been for Timothy to come back and say to Paul, "They're doing really, really well. Here's some things that you can probably shore up for them, but they're doing really, really well." And so sometimes we forget, and I just want to remind you this, I know you know it, but from 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2 to 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6, there's four verses. But Paul describes Timothy going to check on someone and coming back and reporting to him. And remember what travel was like in that day. Okay, this was no easy task for him to get anywhere around the area. So Timothy is doing a lot of traveling and reporting back to Paul. He then went to Corinth, and the reason we know that is because 1 and 2 Thessalonians was written from the city of Corinth, and Paul mentions Silas and Timotheus in both chapter 1 and verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1 and verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians. So he's there both times in the city of Corinth as he writes the book for them and so forth. And of course, from Corinth, he goes to Thessalonica, checks on them, reports back to Paul. Paul then writes this letter to them and so forth. But again, much travel is happening for them. Next, we find him in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. in verse 22. So he sent unto Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, and he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So this time Paul sends him out and says, I want you to stay there, minister to them, and so forth. I'm going to stay here and accomplish what needs to be done. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So Timothy, I want you to go to Ephesus, and when you get there, I want you to say to them, I don't want anybody else teaching anything else. Okay? Now, there's not a specific verse about this in the Word of God, but when we collectively put together all that the New Testament says to us, how many of the New Testament churches were dealing with, very early on, men teaching false doctrine? If you look at Scripture, almost every one of them, in some way or another, if they weren't actually have men that were teaching it, they were being warned about the possibility of it. Judaizers were there, and other people were there. Paul even warns from among themselves would come men that would not spare the flock and so forth. So Timothy is tasked with going to this place, and Paul says, command them that they teach no other doctrine. Charge them that they teach no other doctrine. Okay? So some of these men would have been probably older than Timothy and potentially more intimidating than Timothy, and yet Timothy was to go there and say, you're not to teach that here. Paul has commanded me to come and to make sure that we teach exactly what needs to be taught. And that was the right thing to do, but sometimes the right thing to do is still hard to do. As we work through it. We then find that he is in Asia with Paul in Acts chapter 20 in verse 4, and they accompany him unto Asia, and it gives a bunch of names. One of those names is Timotheus of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. So he's now there with Paul as the book of Acts kind of unfolds. We see Timothy in all of these locations. And again, think about that. Now, I'm not giving an exact aspect, but as we think about the Clarks about to leave on Friday, just imagine the travel that they're going to do, okay, in a variety of locations, Wisconsin, back around to New York and various places. But imagine if we were sending them out and they were going to do that either by walking or by boat, or something like that, would we have a different idea of praying for them if they were going to do that? They might have a different idea about going too in the process, but then this is kind of the idea that we're like, we forget, okay, though they're quote-unquote from the world stage fairly close together, they were a long ways as far as travel was in that day, and so these men were having to do this. And of course, Paul, we know from the book of 2 Corinthians that we're working through, hazarded his life for the gospel. And all those things that Paul talks about, that we're in distress, but we're not this, and we're in this, and we're in this. And then he lists those. Remember those four lists we've looked at in 2 Corinthians of his light affliction. Well, all of that, at least partially, Timothy had to be a part of. And so did some of the other men that were traveling with him. Paul didn't have it happen to him by himself. And so these men are enduring all of that as well. Timothy joined Paul in prison in Rome. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. What do we call the books like Philippians and other books? We call them prison epistles. Why do we call them that? Paul wrote them from prison. And you're like, well, maybe Timothy just visited Paul in prison. That did happen some. But we also know that Timothy spent time in jail because Hebrews chapter 13, verse 23 says, you know that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he comes shortly, I will see you. So whether that was this particular time or some other time, we know that Timothy did spend time in jail. Of course, you couldn't hang around Paul very long without spending time in jail, right? I mean, like that's just kind of what Paul did when he went into a new city with that. But again, what kind of prisons were they we talking about here? These were not luxury places that they would spend time in. And the reason they did so was simply because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's interesting, and as we look at 2 Timothy particularly, during Paul's second imprisonment, he calls for Timothy to come. We know by the time he gets to writing 2 Timothy that Paul has already been, not executed, but he has already been sentenced to be executed. His time of departure is at hand, and he tells Timothy that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee in the books, but especially the parchments." Chapter 4 and verse 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." One author said the fact that at the time when no Christian friend was with Paul except Luke, remember Paul says, "No man stood with me." It was to Timothy he turned for sympathy and aid, closing with the request that his own son in the faith should come to him to be with him in his last hours, shows how true and tender was the affection which bonded these two men together. According to tradition, after the apostle's death, he settled in Ephesus and spent time there and labored there and probably found a martyr's grave there. By the way, I thought this was interesting. I guess I've just never really thought about it. But nothing in Scripture nor in history do we know whether Timothy made it to Paul. He certainly tried to get to Paul, but whether he made it to Paul or not beforehand, we don't know. We do know this, that as a general rule, once a person was sentenced to be executed in the Roman Empire, they didn't wait for appeals. I mean, it happened fairly quickly. And so the chances are Paul probably did not live long enough to see Timothy in that. But boy, wow, what a testimony he left behind. So his name is mentioned in 2 Chronicles, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians, as well as obviously the book of Acts, in which we see him over and over again mentioned with that. He is probably, as I said at the beginning of this two-part series, he was the most prominent of Paul's traveling companions, and someone that Paul greatly invested in, loved, and put in critical positions for him to handle it. And I think the question for us is, what am I willing to do to serve the Lord? I wonder if Timothy fully understood all that Paul was asking of him when he asked him to travel with him. My guess is no. Now, maybe Paul sat down with him and said, "Hey, some guys have recommended you, that you're a great guy of character. I just want you to know, if you travel with me, here's what you're looking forward to." And he just lists. I mean, maybe he did. Maybe he did. And maybe Timothy said, "This is what God wants me to do. I'm going to do it." Pretty amazing, really. Okay, we've got some time here tonight, and I knew this would be a little bit shorter. I debated about what exactly to do with this. But I'd like to take some time, the guys with the microphones, as you grab those here. As we've looked at these two parts, what stands out about Timothy to you and why? Okay, so as you think about the life of Timothy, he's unlike some of the other characters. Okay, as we've worked through Romans chapter 16, right? Our primary theme of the Romans chapter 16 has been these are largely unknown people. We know that some of them are slave names, or we know that one wrote a book, or we know almost nothing about them. Timothy, on the other hand, we know quite a bit about him. We actually have two books written after him and so forth, the pastoral epistles. So what stands out about Timothy and why? Timothy? Over there. I'm not calling on the Timothy from heaven. I'm calling on him. Jeremiah wants to say something back there. If you, somebody else, Nicholas, can get you the mic here as you work through that.
I mean, Christianity's super young, right? Everybody's died. Everybody yes. that gets involved with this has died.
Yes.
And you've got Paul, who is somewhat of an unknown entity. At the same time, you've got this teenage guy who's like, "Yeah, sign me up.
Yeah,
I'll go wherever. No matter what it looks like and what happens, I'm all in." And he sticks with it. Like,
yeah.
It's just, and he, how young was he when he began to be the pastor at Ephesus? I mean, it's just astonishing that I don't see that today.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. There's debate. Nobody knows for sure. Most people believe that he was probably in his late 20s, maybe 30 by the time he's pastor in Ephesus. But I'm just telling you, that's still pretty incredible for him to pastor a church that had that kind of reputation and so forth as you work through it. So really amazing that he was willing to sign up for those things. Okay, there's Sarah and Tim, if you want to come around here to Brother Bishop. Yes, Sarah, Joe.
You almost get this impression that he's there with Paul going, what can I do now? What can I do now? What can I do now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because Paul does send him on difficult errands. So you wonder, is he volunteering for some of those things? Is he saying, I'll go handle this problem or I'll go do this? And it's interesting. When I went to Papua New Guinea, I don't even remember how many years ago now, I went there to deal with problems. There was issues going on there. And it took me 42 hours to get there, okay? And my last flight was a Cessna airplane and I landed on a grass landing strip, right? So, and I was physically and emotionally exhausted. And then I jumped into preaching and teaching and dealing with problems for 8 days. And Lisa can tell you when I came home from that, it's probably my toughest trip to recover from, emotionally, physically, and so forth. And I flew in an airplane, okay? And I think for some of these guys, you think, I can't imagine them getting on a boat and working through all this process and walking all these miles and then ministering to these people. It's incredible to do that. So, Brother Bishop?
Yeah, the first thing that I caught was that the mention of his father was a Greek.
Right.
Two or three times there.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding you. I just go to mixed bus kids that were not accepted on either side.
Yeah.
Both families kind of treated them bad. And I'm thinking of Timothy. If God's word mentions that twice, there's something going on there with him.
Okay.
He's not accepted wholly, even though people may be nice to him. He's not really. And then the church, everybody knows his dad is a Greek.
Right.
You know what that means, don't you?
Yeah, that's interesting, Brother Bishop. I had not thought about it from that perspective, but that's absolutely there. And, of course, we know for sure that the Jews would not have accepted him as genuine, right? That we know that from Scripture and so forth. But neither did some of the other side. And so that dynamic as he's working through it, particularly in initial, that's excellent. Thank you for bringing that out. So, Paul?
One of the things that stood out to me was, Timothy was a bit of a fearful person. And you would expect that at that point in Paul's ministry, he would have a widespread reputation for going to jail quite a bit, yet Timothy stuck with it, and he's probably thinking like, when are we going to go to jail, this time? Who knows,
Right, yeah. So if he was a fearful person, he sure didn't demonstrate. He didn't allow that to stop him from doing what God wanted him to do, because traveling with Paul would have been something that not everybody signed up for. Knowing, again, like you said, the reputation that Paul already had. So good, excellent. With that, there's Joan and Carrie. So, Nicholas, you come down here. Timothy, you come here. Who gets there first? We'll talk first. Okay, Joan's got it first. So go ahead, Joan.
I'm on. I was, even before you started this study, as I read about Timothy and studied about him myself, I always wondered, because I always think how all the different Bible characters who were separated from their parents for different reasons, how they grow to be mighty, men or women for God, and what influence their parents might have had on them. But I think with Timothy, was he determined to travel with Paul and work, sacrifice for the Lord based on what he saw his mother's faith and how it worked in her life, as opposed to his father's lack of faith? And maybe he saw at an early age what a difference that made in his grandmother and his mother's lives just on a daily basis.
Yeah, and that very well could be. It had to be significant because Paul and the Holy Spirit chose to preserve it in his word. So yeah, excellent, excellent idea with that. So Carrie?
I was just, what you said at the end, and then what Jeremiah said at the beginning where he said he started really well and you don't see that a lot. But in my life, I noticed that when I was younger, it was really easy to be gung-ho and burn all your bridges and whatever. And I thought that the older people in the church were all had arrived. And I don't know, I had this image that the younger people were the struggling ones and the older people were they're so spiritual. They spend hours in prayer and whatever, they study their Bible all the time. Anyway, but then as I've been getting older and older, I've realized that it's sometimes it's actually harder when you're younger, it was easier for me to burn the bridge than when I'm older and now I have the kids and I want to savor them and I want that time, or I realize the shortness of life and I want to keep it. I'm like getting like Gollum, like it's mine, it's my precious, my life. So it's been the opposite for me. But Timothy wasn't like that. He maintained his fervency even though the wear and tear of the miles was piling up on him.
Right.
He finished in the end. He saw his mentor die.
Yeah.
He didn't go home and quit. He stayed that and he picked that course also.
Yeah, so excellent. As Jeremiah talked about, you have a young man that jumped at what would be an incredibly dangerous life. And yet, as far as history records, he stayed faithful all the way to the end and died for the cause of Christ. And I mean, that's pretty amazing, really, when you think about it. So excellent. Yes, Brother Leland?
You know, the study has been awesome, and it just made me think that the world needs more Timothys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Christianity needs more Timothys. Yes. Everybody wants to be a Paul.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to be the star. And Paul couldn't have done what he
did. That's excellent.
Yeah. Without a guy like Timothy. Mm. And I can't imagine how many people would have been telling Timothy at 30 years old, you know, don't you think you're old enough that Paul shouldn't still be telling you what to do? You can get your own ministry. You don't need to have this man ordering you around, sending you here and here. And he says, no, this is what the role that God has given me. Mm. And then in his own time, he became the pastor of a church and did great things. But the Christianity needs more Timothys.
Amen. That's an excellent point. And that's why I love hearing from you guys, because there's times when I'm like, wow, I didn't thought about that perspective. But yes, he served as Paul's assistant, running, doing all that he needed to do. And he was perfectly content there, as far as we know. And that's an excellent aspect of that. Praise the Lord for that. It's really, really good. So anyone else? Yes, Timothy?
Funny enough, Harry. I was just thinking about, just as we're going through this, is that think about what the name Timothy even means. So the name Timothy means honor of God, and that Timothy, with everything he did in his life, he did it for the honor and the glory of the Lord.
Yeah,
and so through that, the Lord used him greatly, from being a servant with Paul to even being a pastor. And it really is a great example of what God is calling us to do, just be servants and to honor the Lord with everything that we have.
Yeah, good. Brother Jason up here had his hand up, so.
I was just thinking in 2 Timothy 2:2, it tells us the things that he had learned to commit to faithful men who would be able to teach others also.
Right.
And kind of in the same vein that Brother Leland was talking about, how that's what missions is, and that's what the heart of God is what we call the Great Commission, and that is the reproduction of not only salvation of men, but the planting of churches.
Right.
Baptizing those in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded. Mm-hmm. That's the local church is being established, and that's exactly what Paul was doing. But here comes Timothy, and Timothy's almost like a gopher or a messenger boy. It's just running all over the place. But at the same time, you know that Timothy is also, he has his men.
Correct.
And he's training his men.
Yes.
And he's teaching his men to go train their own men.
That's right.
And so it continues on, you know, Onesiphorus and Philemon, which we know about Philemon, but maybe that was one of Timothy's men, you know, or he was from the church of Colossae. So probably, you know, somebody else was training him or teaching him.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a continuation of the Great Commission. It's a beautiful thing to see.
It is, isn't it? And it's interesting. The root doesn't change, meaning we disciple and pour into other people. The method may change. You're discipling Pastor Levy from here over a phone. My guess is you do video conferences and phone calls with your missionaries. Paul didn't have that. But what we can do today to continue that process of Paul, Timothy, you know, faithful men, others also. And the truth is, there's a sense in which we're all a product of someone passing that gospel down and down and down, someone invested in us, and someone invested in the person that invested in us. We may not know them. And that's kind of what we've been concentrating on from Romans 16, is that largely Christianity is made up of unknown people. People that most of us will never know. We don't know their names. And I think about, as an illustration, I think about war heroes. And a lot of times we know the names of men who were the generals or who won the Medal of Honor. But think about the thousands and thousands of men that died right beside those other men to keep us free, that we don't know their names. We could probably go look them up somewhere, but we don't really know them. Same way with what God has done in these other things. What a blessing that is. So Timothy is a challenge to us as we work through it. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the study on the life of Timothy and, Lord, these other New Testament characters that we know very little about. Lord, we're grateful that men have invested in other lives and men have invested in me. I'm grateful for that. So we pray that you'd help us here as we go through the rest of the week. And we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Be careful, because I don't think Master's Club, parents of teens, were they not going to get out till